Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Greetings to everyone listening.
Yeah, we want to praise and thank God for all our listeners. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'll be here for the next 2 hours, Father, for the next hour, and we hope you'll stick with us, maybe even call in and join in the conversation. Father and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through Our House Ministries website, or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign, and she can put you in touch with Father or I. I also want to remind folks that we have opened our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia.
Yay.
And it's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 Mass, a little bit before that, until 6 o'clock p.m. On Tuesdays, we have our Calyx Mass in the church now at 6 o'clock. And Thursdays, Father, are you doing something at 6 now? Or not yet?
No.
Okay.
It'll be closed up, you know, with the prayers of Matt Talbot.
Amen.
Yeah, but, you know, Ken, I was just thinking that so many people say, Father, what can we do for you down there in Grays Ferry in the ministry? And Mother Teresa always had a good line, come and see. But now I can say, come down and make a holy hour and pray for our mission, you know, for those who suffer with addictions and all the loved ones that are around them, and especially mothers and fathers and loved ones who have loved ones in addiction, especially in the throes of addiction. Come and make a holy hour, visit the Blessed Sacrament, pray a rosary, do the Stations of the Cross, and go through the intercession of Venerable Matt Talbot, our go-to for recovery and to be close to the heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, just like Matt Talbot can.
Amen. And just to add, right now we're only open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I would imagine on Saturdays for a little while before Mass on Saturday afternoon and again on Sunday morning. But our hope is to one day have the church open every day and for most of the day. But to do that, we need people that are willing to come in and stay in the church and keep an eye on things. So if that's something you think you might be interested in doing each week, again, get in touch with us. You can contact us through the MattTalbotShrine.org website. That's Matt Talbot Shrine, all spelled out, one word, .org. We're using that website to keep folks updated on what's going on. We actually broadcast Mass last night over our Facebook page. Again, do a search on Facebook for Matt Talbot Shrine. And it let us create actually a duplicate name. There's Matt Talbot Shrine for the Shrine in Dublin, Sean McDermott Street, Our Lady of Lourdes Church. But there's also now our own for the Matt Talbot Shrine in Grays Ferry. And last night, we had as many as 29 people that tuned in for Mass, and we'll be doing that every Tuesday at 6 p.m. We have adoration for a few minutes and then our Calyx Mass. So kind of surprised you, Father, yesterday and let you know we were going to go actually international because we're also broadcasting over Zoom for our Calyx friends. I don't think people picked up on the ability to tune in. So
that was awesome, knowing that Dublin was watching.
Yeah, we had three people from Ireland on and a bunch of locals. So tune in.
An eye on us.
Yeah, and keep an eye on that website, that MattTalbotShrine.org, as we continue to do these kinds of things. It'll be a good way of getting updated. We'll also be putting it on that Facebook page. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Christopher Magallanes.
Pray for us.
St. Bernardine of Siena.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And I know we took care of the announcements, but I just want to, you know, mention Father and I just talked right before we came on the air, and some weeks are better than others when it comes to the addicted world, and we lost a few people this week, and we actually have one guy that's currently on a ventilator, and Father had an opportunity to spend some time with him today. To bless him with the relic of Matt Talbot and give him the anointing of the sick and last rites and what have you. And his name is Anthony. And Kathleen always claims to have the best prayer warriors in the world. And I don't doubt it for a minute. And so we need our warriors right now to pray, especially through the intercession of Venerable Matt Talbot, that that we get this miracle, that Anthony survives the situation that he's in. We know that his family, apparently sometime today, is going to have to make a decision on whether to keep him on life support. And we just pray that if and when that happens, that his life be spared and that we get that miracle through the intercession of Venerable Matt Talbot. And not only do we get to keep Anthony around for a while, but maybe move Matt Talbot's cause forward at the same time.
Yeah, Ken, it was a glorious 15 minutes. I had to wait because he was down getting a test. They brought him back, and then they spent some time on, you know, in the intensive care room cleaning him up. And then they let me alone for about 15 minutes, and it was just a glorious 15 minutes. I wrapped a miraculous medal around the guardrail. Matt Talbot relic cards on the table with his medal, and had the Blessed Sacrament on him, gave him the plenary indulgence, doused him with holy water, oiled him up with the sacrament of the sick. I think the greatest miracle of all, of course, is to go home. He would slide home safely. Yeah. But I was even talking to Anthony. I said, Anthony, we need the miracle. You know, Matt Talbot's yeah. here. You're between the hearts of Jesus and Mary and with Joseph and God the Father, the Holy Spirit, wake up.
Yeah.
But anyway, I say he's in God's hands like we always are, Ken. But
that's right.
We keep praying for that miracle. And, that, you know, this is a good, he's a good candidate for it right now.
Very good. And our we also have prayers of thanksgiving for our good friend Patrick, a regular caller. And I know he's listening because he just shot me a text message regarding the shrine. But Patrick, glad to hear that it sounds like things went well and home already after having surgery this morning. So hang in there, pal. We pray
yeah,
for
I've been expecting him home.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he'd be in the hospital a couple of days, but got right up the stairs with the crutches.
Yeah, nah, not anymore. They don't leave you in there at all.
About it.
Yeah. So we hope Patrick's on the mend, and we continue to pray for his full recovery. Yep. So this is a one-hour call-in show. You're more than welcome to call in and join the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. It's 888-343-2484. Bottom of the hour, we'd like to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need you to call in and participate. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last week or so, We'd encourage you to call in right around the bottom of the hour. We'll give out the numbers again before we go to the break.
Take that holy boldness.
Yeah. And I think, Father, we should also welcome a new administrator and thank an outgoing pastor. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Father Francis Foley, we were in the seminary together. And he was at my ordination mass. I can't say it was at his, but he had to be at my ordination mass, 2 years behind me. And so I'm just so happy. I'm happy for Father Carl because I think he's happy to get back to the community, that the Norbertine's been really stretched out, and he was pretty much by himself. And with Father Foley coming, it's like the two diocesan priests now here in Grace Ferry, Ken. And just really sense that, you know, it's all divinely ordained, divinely orchestrated, and really expect many more intense graces here in Grace Ferry. So a warm welcome to Father Francis Foley to be a Grace Ferryan now and the pastor of St. Gabriel's Church here with us all. So I'm really hoping for many, many more blessings coming our way, Ken.
Yeah, another good Irishman will fit right in.
I
think it in St. Gabriel's, and I had the pleasure of talking to him for a few minutes yesterday afternoon, and you know, Father Carl, especially in the last year or so, with the encouragement to get the shrine up and running, and his support for that, and now God sending us Father Foley to move it forward. And you know, I mentioned to him yesterday, and I'm not bashful about it. I've been traveling down to Grace Ferry now for 13 years on a pretty regular basis, and I can tell our listeners that there's something palpable down there. When you get out of your car at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, I can feel it. There's something, it's just different. The people that are that I've known down there for quite a while, some that I haven't seen now and that are back, others that are new to the area, and others that have you know, been fixtures ever since I've been coming down. There's an attitude change that's going on. There's a holiness, and it's palpable. You can feel it. And so, you know, sometimes I remember when I first started coming down, Father, people, you know, immediately went back to the, you know, the troubles back in the, I guess, the late 80s and 90s. And, you know, some found it hard to believe that I would come down to Grace Ferry. And I'm telling you, there's nothing to worry about. It's a great neighborhood, and you know, the people on the street, all races, ethnic backgrounds, and getting along, and you know, there's absolutely no reason why anybody should hesitate to come down and visit the shrine. And as I said to Father Foley yesterday, you know, he's now going to be the administrator of the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. And if you've never been in St. Gabriel's Church, now's the time to come. Between the shrine itself, and especially Father mentioned, come down and do the Stations of the Cross. There's the set of stations that's there, I think, is only rivaled by the ones I've seen at St. Anthony's Chapel in Pittsburgh. And so, you know, come on down, spend time. Don't come down expecting to pop in and pop out. Come down, spend an hour or two, and pray with Matt, be with our Lord, and become a part of our Matt Talbot Shrine movement.
Right, Ken. Yeah. You know, back in the 60s, they had a lot of racial riots here. Yeah. But today, it's all like racial harmony here in Grace Ferry. You see black children playing with white children, blacks and whites living on the same block. There's still a drug problem, you know, and that goes on. But there's just so much goodness here.
Amen.
And like you were saying, something's happening, Ken. I feel it myself. I almost, Our Lady of Grace Ferry, an apparition, or Venerable Matt Talbot appearing. But going back to when we dedicated our shrine a couple weeks ago, it was electrifying. I really felt an early Pentecost. It was, it was like a Pentecost where the apostles, they looked like they were drunk, they were giddy, they were joyful. And that's how I felt, you know. And people were saying, I feel a presence here in Matt Talbot's statue. And it's also the real presence of Jesus in the tabernacle where he points to all the time, just like our Blessed Mother. The Cathedral of South Philly, beautiful church. spend some time. You can get lost there, you know, and just the stations. I think of Matt Talbot, you know, how he would do the stations. And he often would go around on his knees to do the stations of the cross, but he got lost. He got lost in the stations of the cross, got lost in time. He was in the eternal. And that's what's offered here at St. Gabriel's Church, the Cathedral of South Philly, you know, the gateway to heaven, and just to be present there, you know, in the real presence of Jesus. And all the saints that we have in the little side altars, I just felt that they were all saying, welcome, Matt. Welcome, Venerable Matt Talbot. Yeah. All the great saints that are all around in our church. But it's worth a visit here to St. Gabriel's, and you will be blessed to come and visit the shrine of Matt Talbot, and to make sure you sign your name and put your intention in the book for prayer intentions. But, yeah, I agree with you, Ken. There's something happening.
Yeah. Yes, there is. All right. We're going to talk about some saints today. We're in the seventh week of Easter. We're going to wrap up this coming Sunday with the Feast of Pentecost. As Father just mentioned, we feel like there's a second Pentecost that's either already started or close to it. And on Sunday, we'll celebrate the original Pentecost that the apostles experienced, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and along with our Blessed Mother and some of the other disciples that were there in the upper room. And the saints for this week, yesterday on the 18th, we celebrated Pope St. John the First. Thursday the 20th, will be St. Bernardine of Siena. On Friday the 21st, St. Cristobal of Magallanes and Companions. And then on Saturday the 22nd, St. Rita of Cascia. And we thought we would start with Cristobal Magallanes and his companions. And these were 24 martyrs, and some of them died together, but they were actually spread out over the course of 22 years from 1915 until 1937. And these guys were under an anti-Catholic government in Mexico, and they were really determined to weaken the faith. Everything was closed up: churches, schools, seminaries. Foreigners that were clergy had to leave, and Cristobal ended up establishing a seminary, an underground seminary or a clandestine seminary in Totatiche, Jalisco, and they were forced to minister secretly. And you know, it seems like sometimes in these current days that there's forces at work here that are trying to do the same. We saw it a little bit with the pandemic, where you know they were able to actually shut down our churches, and fortunately things are starting to open up. The churches have been open for a while now, but you know, open up fully in the very near future. But if it happened in Mexico, it can happen anywhere. All the martyrs except for three were diocesan priests. David, Manuel, and Salvador were actually laymen who died with the parish priest, Louis Batiste. And they all believed to the Cristero movement, or belonged to, rather, the Cristero movement, and pledged allegiance to Christ and the Church. Continued to try to spread the good news, and did all this despite the fact that the leaders had come to make it a crime even to receive baptism or celebrate Mass. So like I said, they died not in a single group, but over 22 years in eight different Mexico states. And they were all beatified in 1992 and then canonized 8 years later in the year 2000. St. Cristobal Magallanes and his companions.
Yeah, Father Christopher, the Christ bearer. Some of his quotes from his cell, he said, "I am innocent and I die innocent. I forgive with all my heart those responsible for my death, and I ask God that the shedding of my blood serve the peace of our divided Mexico." And the slogan, Ken, Cristero's slogan was, "Long live Christ the King and the Virgin of Guadalupe." Mm. Here's the thing that really hits me the most about him, and I think those who are suffering with any kind of addiction, you know, take this to heart. He said, while they were being lined up to be shot, the priest next to Christopher became anxious, And he turned to comfort him, and he said this, Ken, quote, "Be calm, my son, only for a moment, and then on to heaven. Be calm, my son, only for a moment, and then on to heaven." It's all about the present moment. We don't, only thing we really ever have, Ken, is the present moment. We don't have the past anymore. We don't have the future now. We always have the present moment. And it's only in the present moment where we find the grace, where we find God. Think about it. All of our fears are in the future. And all of our sorrows and regrets are in the past. But in the present is the grace. It's where we find God. God is all present. And I often think, too, Ken, you know, the standing eight count when you're in the ring and the opponent's hurt and the referee stops the fight and he counts to eight to see if the opponent can go on. And it's those seconds, and, you know, when you get tempted to pick up a drug or alcohol, to break your pledge, whatever it is, it's be calm, my son, only for a moment, and then on to heaven. Take that present moment and that grace. That temptation will leave within 8 seconds. All you have to do is pray it away. You know, like Matt Talbot, Jesus, mercy, Mary, help, the holy name that we're going to talk about in Bernadine. And we starve the demon. But if you keep thinking about that temptation, whatever it may be, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. But you can nip it in the bud, you know, that 8-second count, you know, just enough time to pray a Hail Mary or an aspiration or just repeating the holy name of Jesus, that present moment. And I think about the first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew when John the Baptist is reluctant to baptize Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? First words, record it. Give in for now. Just give in for this moment, John. Just surrender to me, and it'll be okay. You know. And I took those words, Ken, whatever it was, in traffic, give in for now. In a busy line, in the marketplace, you know, people jumping ahead. Just give in for now. Let it go. Let it pass. Stay in the present moment with God's graces. And that's one of the things I get from Christopher, you know. Just turning to the priest who was afraid. He was a fear because he's living in that future time. He lost the present moment, where Christopher is in the present moment with God. Total trust in the Lord that he's going to be in heaven in any moment. Be calm, my son, only for a moment, and then on to heaven. And I just want to end with this one story, you know, living the present moment. It was about a man who was running from a ferocious lion, and he comes to a crevice, and he leaps from the lion's jaws, and he grabs on a vine. And as he starts to climb down the vine, he looks down, and there's another lion waiting for the devour on him. And he looks up, and he sees two field mice that are chewing on the vine that's ready to just break. And then he looks over at a strawberry patch, and he reaches over, and he grabs a strawberry, and he tastes the strawberry, and he says, "How sweet it tastes in the present moment with the Lord. And everything works out for good for those who love God." It's that present moment. Again, that's all we have. We don't have the past. We never have the past. We never have the future. We always have the present moment where God is and where all the graces are present to us. So live in the present moment like Christopher, Saint Christopher. Be calm, my son. Only for a moment, and then on to heaven, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's next to us. You know, we don't have to die to go to heaven. It's already here. So just be calm in the present moment, receive that grace, and step up into the kingdom of God with God himself, who takes care of all of our problems. So cast all our cares on him, because he cares for us.
Yeah, and that's one of the gifts that I've gotten through a 12-step program. One of the things that I didn't bargain for in life was the whole idea of, you know, living one day at a time. And sometimes, like you said, it can be 1 hour at a time. It can be one moment at a time, especially when you're up against it. And the fact of the matter is, you can't live in the past and you can't live in the future. And for whatever reason, as you were talking about it and I'm thinking about it, you know, I'm thinking about coming up as a kid and, you know, you're taught that everything that you're doing now is preparing you for, you know, something in the future. And so you try to do well in school. You take classes to, aim towards a career, perhaps, especially once you get to college, if you were a little bit brighter than me and actually made it through. And but everything that you're doing today is to achieve something tomorrow. And you're always, you know, looking ahead. And I think it might be okay when you're talking about a career, but when you get into other situations then, and it could be something like an illness, and, our good friend Mike that recently got diagnosed with Parkinson's, and also a recovery guy and has been living one day at a time for years and years and years, and initially, you know, was living in the day and taking things one day at a time, but things have a tendency to catch up with us, and you do start thinking about the future and, what's going to happen to me and how debilitated am I going to become and who's going to take care of my kids and my grandkids. And it's real easy to take the focus off of the present moment, take the focus off of today and start to project into the future. And fortunately, I've had it beat into me so much that I just can't afford to do that because you say it all the time, Father, and now I say it all the time to everybody I meet. You want to make God laugh, just make plans. It's one thing to, plan the, next week, next month, perhaps if you have to do a certain amount of planning if you want to take a vacation or you want to do something that may, involve significant dollars or something like that. So, of course, you plan, but you can't dwell there and you can't live there. You hear people talking about going on vacation a month from now, and half the time it seems like they're already on vacation. They think about it so much, they're not taking care of the responsibilities that they have to take care of today. And it's just one of those gifts that when you learn about it and take it to heart, and hopefully it doesn't take a nasty addiction that forces you to live one day at a time. And it's almost, as we're talking about it, thinking it should be like a course that the kids learn early on, that, to try to stay out of the future and definitely stay out of the past. I shared that about it last night. One of my favorite kids' movies is The Lion King. And when that Rafiki cracks Simba over the head and Simba gets all upset and he says, "Don't worry about it. It's in the past." And it's a great line, but it's so true. I mean, the past is the past. We can't change it. Hopefully we learn from it. But and God's not there anymore. God's only in the present moment. He's not in the future and he's not in the past. He's right now in the present moment where we need to be.
All present.
Yeah. And so it's one of those gifts I got that I never expected, and I thank God for it all the time, that I have the ability, at least most of the time, to live in today.
Yeah. It's saying, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future.
Amen.
And what you're saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And sometimes our plans are his plans, but sometimes they're not. I said to you before, Ken, sometimes I'm going out the door and I have my agenda, I'm trying to get somewhere, and inevitably somebody's going to intercept me, and usually they're upset or their mother's sick or some kind of crisis, and it's like my disappointments are divine appointments, and so you go with that. So yeah, we make our plans, and often they're God's plans, but sometimes God has another plan, and just go with the flow.
Amen.
Let it be done as you say, right? Mary's fiat. Yes, God, let it be done to me as you say. And it's in doing his will, not my will, that I find that great inner peace, that love, that felt joy. It's always there in the present moment. And when I lose that present moment, that's when I get disturbed and anxious and worried. And I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Worry insults God. Trust honors him."
Amen.
And how true that is, and how the saints just trusted the Lord in everything, even at that moment of death with St. Christopher there, that trusted God because he knew where he was going. I remember one of the guys, Ken, he was really a bad alcoholic. Patrick was his name. Not our Patrick, the caller, but another Patrick. And he worked high up in high places, and he was a severe alcoholic. He even had, like, wet brain. And he said to me, Father, if I start falling from real high up, I'm going down smiling because I know where I'm going. It was like he just total trust in the Lord, even though he had all kinds of problems and difficulties. And he kind of realized that he wasn't his disease of alcoholism, that he was truly a child of God, and God would take care of him, and he did. And Patrick did pass away, by the way. But, the present moment, that's what God is all present. We call it the present. Why do we call it the present? Because there's a gift in it. And who's the gift? God himself.
Amen. Well, that takes us right to the bottom of the hour.
Can I just end with one little thing when we get in this segment? I just have the business card for Jesus. And here it goes, the business card for Jesus. Jesus the Christ, divine physician and son of God. Day, night services, no appointments necessary, makes house calls. And you turn the card over, it says, absolutely no fees required, love and sorrows accepted. Available for chats, walks, decisions and complaints. Specializes in ailments of the soul, mind, and body. Takes collect calls. He's always there, Ken. Just call his name, and he's right there, because he's all present. And all we need to do is to be present with our God.
Amen. And, well, you and I are all present, and we need folks to call in with their Is That Odd or Is That God story. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pat Lawley. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years, so it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world. And wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And disappointing break there, Father, not a single phone call. I know God's alive and well, especially in Grays Ferry.
Yeah.
But apparently nowhere else. So, you know, I think it's important. And I've said it before, you know, we as Catholics, you know, often stink at witnessing to one another. I think it's the one area that our Protestant brothers and sisters do a lot better than we do in, you know, sharing their faith stories and being willing to witness to one another, you know, what God's done in our lives. And this is an opportunity for folks to do it. And I know we get some regulars that do it, but we'd love to get somebody that's never called before. And I think sometimes maybe we don't look for it, or we don't realize it when it happens, and that's the importance of doing the examine, or, you know, some other form of prayer on a daily basis where we try to find where God's, you know, poking through that veil between heaven and earth and coming into our lives. And I think it happens so many more times than we're aware of. And it looks like maybe we generated some ringers anyhow. And I just share a quick one from and I shared it last night. And for me, I see God in creation. I love bird watching. I have bird feeders all over the place. And I had shared last night that on Monday I was leaving from the mountains, and I have to bring all my feeders in every night because I got a 300-pound bear that likes to come around and climb up on my deck if I leave them out. And but something told me on Monday I wasn't quite ready to leave and not to put the one feeder away. And sure enough, I leave it out there, and a beautiful red-headed woodpecker shows up. And they're kind of rare in these parts. I've actually had people that are real experienced bird watchers, you know, come and want to camp out in my driveway and wait for him to show up when he was coming almost every day last June. And he's back again. And it was just something that told me to leave it. And I listened. And I think that's the difference between the sane Ken and the insane Ken, is that when I hear that voice sometimes, that I pay attention to it. And for so long I didn't, and I certainly paid the price for it. And we got a Patrick on the line, and I'm betting it's the guy that was just operated on this morning. Patrick.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Hey, Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Good the divine physician took care of you, the surgeon.
Yes, he did.
What did they say? Everything went well?
Yeah.
All right.
I got to go back in 3 weeks.
Very good.
So, but as I'm getting ready to go in this, well, first off, I had the pleasure of being waited on by, and literally anything I needed or any questions I had, a friend of our, Ryan Howard, that had passed on, his mother, Colleen, works out there, and she was such a blessing to have around.
Very good. Did you know she was going to be there?
No, I thought she already moved on.
Ah, she was waiting for you.
Yeah, honor God.
Yeah.
But right before I was getting there, ready to take down the OR, I read this thing, and it said, "Have you ever considered that God has fallen in love with you? He sends you flowers every spring, sunshine every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he listens. He can live anywhere in the universe, but he chose to live in your heart. He didn't promise you days without pain, or laughter without sorrow, or sun without rain. But he did promise you strength to get through each day, and comfort to wipe any tears, and light for the way. Amen."
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
And I was just thinking about that, and then last night about how, you know, how God loves us, and no matter what, and he loves me just as much as he loves somebody who has it worse than me or somebody that has it better than me. God is the equalizer, and to be able to finally grasp that and to put my, you know, my faith and trust in that, and I can honestly say I was not worried one bit today.
Well, good for
we
you.
We were.
Yeah, we were. We made up for it.
Well, Colleen wasn't worried either because all she wanted to talk about was Father Doug.
Yeah. Don't blow up his ego any more than it already is.
My ego's not my amigo. Edging God out.
Yeah.
The Lord, he knows how to humble me. Don't worry.
So.
Very good.
I'm blessed to have the support that I have and to have the people that I had and praying for me. And the last person I seen in Grace Ferry last night was Ken.
Well, good to hear your voice, pal. I got an update from Father that you were home, but we figured if you were home already that things went well, and it sounds like they did. So glad to hear it.
Yeah, my fear was seeing him coming up the stairs. Will he make it? Patrick, well, I just wanted to say, too, I love that what you said, you know, that you ever stop to think that God has fallen in love with us. He's madly in love with us, outrageously in love with us, extravagantly in love with us. And if God the Father held you in his left hand as his child, and he had Jesus in his right hand as his child, the Father loves you as much as he loves his Son. I mean, this is just amazing. You talk about grasping divine love because it's unconditional. It's never held back. None of his love. But then we can say, well, the love coming back is somewhat different, how Jesus loves the Father, you know, and that's how we're called, to love God the way he loves us, totally and completely. But it's just amazing that, Father, you know, you can love me as much as you love your Son, and Jesus, you love me as much you love your Father. He confers the kingdom on us. Just look at the cross, how much we're loved. I mean, that's our God hanging there. What else can he do? You know, lacerated, beaten from head to toe, you know, bruised from the inside out, you know, and then says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Still loving the very ones that are putting him to death. What was he looking at? Not their sins, not their shortcomings or their character defects. He was seeing his brothers and sisters in his image and likeness. But you're right. God has fallen madly in love with us, and we need to fall madly in love with him. It's all about love in the end. We're judged on love, as St. John of the Cross said. But that's a great line, Patrick. You just stirred my heart when you said, do you ever stop to think that God has fallen in love with us and how true that is?
Yeah, and I think that that's the hard part for a lot of people because so many of us at different times in our life feel like we're unlovable, you know, that the shame and the guilt, and you find it almost impossible to believe that any human could love us, let alone this great and wonderful God. And so that's why we need to spend time with him, to clean up the wreckage of the past. Don't live there. Don't dwell on it. But, you know, acknowledge that the things that you've done and ask for forgiveness. I think that that's why it's so important to make amends to those that we've hurt. And, you know, and making those amends is a lot different than perhaps doing penance that you get when you go to confession. You can go in and say that you stole from your neighbor, and you may get a penance, but in order to be able to look that neighbor in the eye, you need to make restitution perhaps. And so you know, we need to clean up that wreckage of the past so we can be lovable. We can feel lovable. We can know that we're lovable. And, you know, unfortunately, there's so many people that we come into contact with, so many walking around on this planet that can't believe that anyone could love them, let alone this all-loving and all-merciful God. And so that's why we're here, right, Father? That's why we, those that are in recovery, continue to go back, to pass along to those that come after us these truths, both the truth of our human condition and the truth of our God, so that they too can experience that love that we've gotten to feel.
Yeah.
Boy, amen.
Amen is right. Yeah. What love. What love.
So, all right, Patrick, good to hear you, pal.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thanks, Patrick. Go to bed. Our Lady of the Pillow and Saint Mattress.
There you go. Hey, if you don't have those devotions, Dan, I'm sure Father can clue you in.
And when I fall asleep saying the rosary, my guardian angel finishes it.
There you go.
There you go. So,
all right, bud, be good.
I see.
See ya.
That is amazing, right, Ken?
Yeah, man.
That was surgery.
Yeah, it sounds like he may still have a little of that anesthesia in him, but he sounds great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. I mean, his life, how he turned his life around, and how he really is a witness for the Lord. I think, Matt Talbot, if I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God. And he's such an example to so many other people.
Yeah.
So what a blessing to have him in such a special role and part in our house ministries.
Yeah.
And he made the 90-90, right, Ken?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the 90-90. I remember when my brother Harry with AA would always said, 90 meetings in 90 days. I said, Harry, I want equal time. How about 90 Holy Communions in 90 days? And he did it.
Mm.
And I told Patrick, and he did it. In fact, I'm going to call him back. I bring him Holy Communion today. Just an amazing story of grace, Patrick Kennedy.
That's
amazing
right.
story of grace. The yep. love of God.
Amen. All right, well, we got about 14 minutes left. I don't know if you have a Odd or God, or you want to go to Bernardine?
Well, I do. I'd like to tell my Odd or God. I shared it last night.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was down in Wildwood, and I met with Georgie, a member of our board. And we went out to breakfast at the Star Restaurant, and we sat there. We really enjoyed ourselves, and we were sharing our faith stories and about the little flower and roses. He had a lot of his, and I had a lot of mine about the roses. Thinking of Patrick,
Patrick don't need no roses.
But anyway, when we parted, he left. He went his way. I went my way, and I decided to get a Wawa coffee and go to that place where I go. And look out at the ocean and just drink in the presence of God in the present moment. And when I got there, I'm parking, and who do I see? Georgie. And he's actually texting me on his cell phone. He took a picture. What's on the table under the pavilion is a bouquet of roses. And he couldn't believe it, and his heart was burning, and he had to show the picture and send it to me. But even more than that, Ken, was not just the roses, but how I popped up. At that same time with the roses. And both of our hearts were burning within us. So, Odd or God.
Amen.
It's all God.
Yep.
No coincidences, only divine incidences. It's all divinely ordained and orchestrated.
Yeah. So, and Patrick don't need no stinking rose. He's got it all.
Yeah.
And it'll come sooner or later. But, all right. Let's talk about St. Bernardine of Siena and a Franciscan. And he was a great preacher. He went all across Italy. He attacked paganism and attracted upwards of 30,000 people in the different crowds that he would draw. And he followed St. Francis of Assisi's admonition to preach about vice and virtue, punishment and glory. He was compared with St. Paul by the Pope, and what interesting to me was that when he was 20, when he was 22, he entered the Franciscan order, and he was ordained 2 years later. Father, 2 years. How many years did you spend in the seminary?
Eight. 4 year college.
Yeah.
But then I was 4 years preparing to get into the seminary, so I count that 12 years. I had to repeat high school, Ken.
Yeah, yeah. But Bernardine, 2 years. And he gets ordained. And for 12 years, he lived in solitude and prayer. But eventually, because of his gifts, he would go out to preach. And one of the things I know you're going to talk about was his devotion to the Holy Name. He devised the symbol that has IHS. And is that Odd or is that God? That here we are at IHS in his sign, Catholic Radio. And they're actually the first three letters of the name of Jesus in Greek. And so Bernardine would put those three letters in a blazing sun, and as you appropriately noted last night, Father, that's the symbol that's in the altar that Matt Talbot's on, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Odd or God.
Odd or God. And he ends up becoming the general of the Friars of the Strict Observance, which was a branch of the Franciscan order. And the other interesting thing was that when he started, there were 300 friars in the community, and when he left, there were 4,000. So quite an impact on those that he preached to and was a part of their lives. So St. Bernardino of Siena, whose feast day we will celebrate tomorrow, Thursday.
But something wonderful about that name, Jesus, the power of the name. You know, think about where Angel Gabriel came and said to Mary and Joseph, you know, his name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And not only sins, but guilt and shame and the rest of it. The Savior, the name means save me. And what a powerful name, Ken. You know, whatever the difficulties that we're in, whatever trials or tribulations, you know, there's a power in the name. You just say Jesus, and there's a communion with him. It's the sweetest, shortest prayer that we can make, you know, Jesus. If I'm in the, I don't know, down at the stadium and watching the Eagles game or the Phillies game, all those people around me, and someone says, Father Douglas, you got my attention. You know, there's a power in the name. And the Jewish people knew that. They knew that because they wouldn't say the name Yahweh. Only once a year where the high priest would go in on the day of Yom Kippur into the Holy of Holies after taking the blood of the scapegoat, and he goes in there and sprinkles the Ark of the Covenant, and he whispers the name Yahweh, and all the sins are forgiven, and the people go home. You know, Yahweh, they take the vowels out of the Yahweh because there's a power in the name. And here we got the name Jesus, and what's Jesus say? Call God our Abba, our Father, our Daddy. You know, that he wants us to know his name, and he wants us to have a power. He shares his powers with us. I mean, we're coming up with a Pentecost. The first definition of the Holy Spirit in the Acts was, you will receive power on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then it was also with the Blessed Mother. How can this be? I don't know man. Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that power that, you know, God wants us to have power. And I just think, you know, even, the, you know, how Jesus is always there, the Holy Name, when he stayed with them. Here's the other thing, Ken. He ascends, right? And then he descends visibly. He goes out of our sight. But then he descends invisibly in the sacraments. He's in his priesthood. It's a personal encounter at the Mass, at the Eucharist, in the confessional. The sacraments are personal encounters with Jesus. He's with us always until the end of the world. And we see with the apostles, Peter, when he's in the courtyard there, and the cripples there, and Peter says, well, gold and silver, I have none, but what I get what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he gets up and he walks, the Jesus of Nazarene, because Jesus Christ is still with us. He's always with us, just as he promised. But, you know, that second commandment, keep the name holy, you know, keep that holy name Jesus. You know, take it in vain, because it's powerful. Powerful. And a lot of saints would die with that name on their lips. I was thinking of a woman named Connie, with the Little Sisters of the Poor. So many beautiful deaths. I wrote that book, you know, Heaven's Homecoming. But this one particular death, it was Connie, and her daughter was a Little Sister of the Poor. And she would always go in and pray the rosary with her and all. But at the hour of death, she's awake and alert. And the sister says, Mom, let's pray the rosary. And she looked up, she said, no, one prayer, Jesus. And then she fell back, and her lips were moving, just the holy name, Jesus, Jesus. And that's how she left us, with the holy name on her lips. And St. Francis de Sales, Margaret Mary, St. Paul, you know, died there with the name of Jesus. And I often think, Ken, with St. Francis, I always remember this story. St. Francis would wet his lips and you know, at the sweetness of the name when he was saying it. But he was up in front of the tabernacle praying, whispering his prayers. And someone said, I wonder what kind of prayers a saint says. Go and listen. So someone up and they listened. All they heard him say was, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That name, Ken, is so powerful. I like to go to sleep at night. You know, I listen to my heart with the two beeps sometimes. You know, it's like, Jesus, Jesus. that, you know, when you call that name, there's a presence there, and there's a communion. We pierce the heavens, you know. And I think about Matt Talbot when he, you know, whatever the problems were, difficulties, you know, especially when he was having the struggle with the three churches, he couldn't go up to communion, Ken.
Mm.
And at the end, he prayed, Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. Jesus, mercy, Mary, help. And it all came. And even the founder of the Calyx Society, Bill Montroy, it was at the holy name of Jesus where he has his last drink, and the idea of Calyx hits him. At the holy name of Jesus, everything started to happen there, you know, the power of the name. And no one can say Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And we can't go to the Father unless we go through Jesus. He's the way. But it's just amazing how, you know, the holy name, it just unites us with the Spirit and the Father. But that name, it's so powerful and so wonderful. And we need to pray that name deeply from our hearts, not mechanically, you know, just, you know, from our hearts. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it unites us with Him. It's a communion with Him. And we know that we get that love affair with Him, and He brings us to the Father by the power of the Spirit into those verdant pastures and beside restful waters, and that peace just infuses us, and that joy and that felt love there, because that's His mission. Forgive our sins, destroy death, and bestow on us eternal life with the Father in the kingdom, where all is well, all is peaceful, all is gentle and meek and mild, all is so loving. At that holy name of Jesus, who redeems us and who saves us from all of our sins, shame and guilt, Ken.
Amen.
I pray that name. We were always taught, you know, in school, you bow your head. I still bow my head.
Yep.
Jesus. And it was one time, Ken, when the priests wore the berettas, and during one of the homilies, I heard this story, that whenever the holy name would be invoked, they had to pick up the beretta and twist it a little bit.
Yep.
And one time they counted 55 holy names in one homily, and all you saw was the berettas going
yeah,
up and down.
Yep.
At the holy name of Jesus, every knee shall bend. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
That's right. And say it out loud. You know, you were saying that, you know, it might be on your heart or what have you, but there's something about when we say something out loud, when we vocalize it, that it has a different quality. And I mentioned this last night too. Once you say it out loud, you have to do something about it. It changes us, whether it's, you know, saying you're an alcoholic, whether it's saying you need help, whether it's anything at all. But when you say the name Jesus out loud, it has an effect. There's an impact that I don't think if you're just saying it in your mind. And once you vocalize it, it changes me. It changes my attitude. It changes my perception of things. And so, you know, the idea of Matt Talbot, when he was up against it and would use that phrase, Jesus, mercy, Mary, help, is a wise one, and one that I've used from time to time. I need to be reminded about it like I am today. To use it, but to remember in those moments when you're alone, especially when you're alone, when perhaps you don't have the ability to talk to, you know, another family member in the house or pick up the phone and call somebody, and you're truly alone with whatever's going on, and use that name, call on Him, and He'll be there. I speak from my own experience, knowing that He'll take care of whatever ails you in that moment. So, got just about a minute and a half left, Father. So, you want to take us home and give us your blessing?
Okay. Well, back to Bernadine, you know, the love he had for Jesus. He always used the placards, you know, and always held them up, and even blessed the people with the IHS on her. And, of course, that's the monogram of the first three letters of Jesus. But there was a lot of gambling going on, Ken. I told you the story last night. And they had the card maker, and he complained to the saint because people, they stopped gambling and all, because he was preaching, such a great preacher, against the vices and all. And one of the businessmen who was making the cards, the, you know, gambling cards, complained. He said, well, why not make the IHS cards, you know, the holy name cards? And they sold like hotcakes. Mm. People really bought them up, yeah. You know. But again, you know, it's just proclaiming the name, sharing name. I think of Matt Talbot too, Ken, the holy name. Whenever there was a holy name, he would pick up his hat and tip it.
Yep.
Out of the reverence of the name. I always remember that.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, the holy name. It gives us a holy communion with him. And we got his name for a reason. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God, our Father, praise and thank you for loving us so much, for giving us your Son, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, St. Joseph, all the angels and saints, and for the gift of your Holy Spirit that we celebrate on Sunday. So bless us all of our listeners, our mission, all those who suffer, and all those who are sick and lonely. Let us know, dear Jesus, that you're always with us in that great mercy and love of yours. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Ken, God bless.
You too, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our guest is on the line, so we'll be back right after the break. Don't go away.